Again, we are very thankful that you have given us this day, and we thank you, Lord, for the day that we celebrate our mothers and we celebrate life in Christ Jesus, because we recognize that you are the giver of every good and perfect thing. We pray, God, that you would open again our eyes and our ears, and that our hearts would be fertile ground, that these words of life and that seed would fall and bring forth fruit in its season. We pray, God, that we would harvest that fruit and bring it, Lord, to a place where others might partake of it and come to know you better. We pray, Father, that you would again give us wisdom and intellect that we can rightly divide the word of truth. And we pray, Lord, that as we come up, we'll come up together. Again, we ask for the forgiveness of our sin, every mercy and every grace. And we pray, God, these prayers by faith, knowing that you will not only hear, but answer our prayers. And Lord, we pray that our lives will be a joy to the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go to 1 Peter. And we're going to look at, again, some of our foundational pieces for our life in holiness. And understand, as we're talking about our growing in holiness, that there are things that happen to us even in our efforts to become all that God has called us to be. There are still certain challenges that are going to come. And these challenges don't come because we're not gaining in holiness, but these challenges come because you are. So let's look at what he tells the church. And 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, all right, everybody there? All right. Now listen to what he says, and we're going to start, we'll build it up, we'll start building from verse 3. He says, "All honor to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it is by his boundless mercy that God has given us the privilege of being born again." Absolutely. "Now we live with a wonderful expectation because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead." Amen. "For God has reserved a priceless inheritance for his children. It is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And God, in his mighty power, will protect you until you receive this salvation because you are trusting him. It will be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though it is necessary for you to endure many trials for a while." Now, we like a lot of what we read until we got to that part. You know, we understand that there is an inheritance for us. We get excited about that. We understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and has come to make our lives in Christ Jesus, which is in him, more complete. We understand that there are not going to be anything, that there are not going to be any circumstances or situations in our lives that occur that's going to take this from us, and it's not going to wear out. You know, it's all of those. But when he gets to the last part of that conversation, he says, "Please understand that there are going to be some difficulties, even for the elect of God." See, we still don't get no amens, and nobody likes that. I mean, and please understand that part of our sanctification is the struggle. Part of our richness in the Lord is that we've got to wrestle in our flesh every day, but that's part of it. And he says, listen, it's not going to be just, and I guess this would tie in with what our senior saints told us. If it ain't one thing, it's another. He said, it is necessary. And whenever you see a word like that in the word of God, that means you're not going to get around it. See, we don't like that. It's still quiet. He said, listen, please understand, there's some wonderful joy ahead. You know, "Therefore, laid up for me is the crown of righteousness that shall be revealed on that day." We got that. You know, "Now we see through a glass darkly." We got that. "It doth not yet appear what we shall be." We got that. All of those things are absolutes. There's wonderful joy ahead. And let me give you a little bit of insight. One of the things that will help you get through your most difficult times is knowing about your delivery times. If you can just remember that there is a deliverance you will always be able, and I don't mean sometime, I mean you will always be able to get through whatever you got to get through because you know there's something else better than this. And that's a promise from God. That's not an advertisement. That's not some beautiful commercial. That's not just some preacher's promise. That's a promise from God. He said, listen, whatever happens to you, don't ever forget that there are some wonderful joys ahead. And ahead is a progress word. You know, we hear Paul saying that you got to press toward the mark. And what he's saying is you put every effort you can into getting to the place of your righteousness, getting to the place of your reward, getting to the place of your greater glory. Because if you die here, you miss everything that's out there. And I don't mean physical death. I mean if you quit in the spirit. Because where we die physically may not be our choice at all. So he says, listen, whatever is happening in your life, don't forget that there is a deliverance. You're going to get out of it. You know, and if you read through your Bible, which is the whole word of God, and it is the absolute truth, you will discover a whole lot of folk had some tough times, but they didn't quit. They kept going. They made up their minds for whatever reason. And we don't, you know, one of the things about the Bible, it does give us a little latitude to do some spiritual imagination. We cannot imagine what was going through the mind of Abraham. You know, when he has gone through a situation with Lot, he's had to lie about his wife being his wife, and it's his sister and his cousin and niece and all that kind of stuff. He has had situations where his life starts out when he's a son of a fairly decent father and had some fairly decent family people around him. But God is challenging him often. God is putting him in different circumstances. And he gets to one of the greatest challenges in his life when he is getting older and older and older. And that great promise of God has not yet come to pass. And people around him, their lives are constantly changing and evolving. And here's something I think sometimes we forget about when we read the Bible. As much as we are looking at Abraham and Sarah's story, there are a whole lot of other folk living in the land at the time. There are a whole lot of other folk that are having some wonderful things. Abraham ain't the only person that owned a few sheep and a few goats and had some land, you know. Sarah's not the only woman getting her hair done at the beauty parlor and talking about children and possibilities. There are a whole lot of things happening around their lives that we don't really get. But one thing I can tell you is they struggle with some of the same concerns that we do. And when it comes to a point that you have this promise of God, and you know, there's a saying in the world that heavy is the head that wears the crown. When you have been set apart by God, and your life becomes luminous and other folk are watching your life, that's even more pressure. You can rest assured that somebody probably said to Abraham every now and then, well, what's going on with that father of many? What's going on with that thou shalt be a great? And the reality is, that's hard. And so he has his own internal issues to struggle with. But what I believe kept him was his faith in there's something greater ahead. And even when he laughs at God about this, Sarah's going to get pregnant, you know, he at least he's bowed down laughing. He ain't on his feet in case God knock him down. He understands that sounds kind of ridiculous. But the reality is all of us will go through some things. When he's on his way with Isaac and he's got to make a choice, that's not easy. You got to walk 3 days up a hill and come back. Well, you don't tell Sarah when you get back. So there's a lot of things that we look at, even when you look at David's life. You know, we look at a lot of David's victories, but you got to really internalize with David and recognize the struggle of trying to be a victor. When your circumstances look bad and you still supposed to be a king and you still a prophet, you know, you still been prophesied to be in a certain place at a certain given time, and you don't know when that time really is. He always had to remember, you know, of all the things I'm going through now, why would God have anointed me instead of my brother? There were probably days when David thought to himself, I wish one of them had got that oil poured on them. I wouldn't have this to deal with. I could just be a regular old Joe and go on about my business. But that's how life is. For Jeremiah, for Isaac, for for Isaiah, for Paul, for Matthew. Everybody's got their trials and tribulations, but it still requires of us to be holy. And he said, listen, don't give up on the fact. Now, he said this. He said, the necessary things you got to endure. You know, that tells us also there are some unnecessary things we just need to get away from. Because some of the things that we involve ourselves in that bring us to grief could have been avoided. My mother has a saying that she likes to throw at you whenever she feels like you've done something foolish. She'll look at you and say, well, you didn't have that to do. And she's probably right. Don't y'all call and tell her. But she's probably right. Because the reality of it is, you got enough to deal with in this lifetime without being your own worst enemy. So he says, you're going to have to do it. Now watch this. He said, and there are many trials, but they only last for a while. They only last for a while. Did something go out? Yeah. They only last for a while. And then it reminds us, he said, listen, watch this. These trials are only to test your faith, to show that it is strong and pure. Who's it showing it to? You. Every trial and every situation that you will ever go through, God already knows the outcome. God allows these things to happen to us so we will discover that we're stronger, that there is a purity that comes with our relationship with God. There is something internally. So when Paul tells the church, greater is he that is in me, that's just not a cliche to throw out there when we feel like saying something big and bad. No, that's a reality. Notice what he says. He said, this is going to happen as a test. Most of us don't like tests of any kind. How many of you ever had somebody do something to you and they, as we would say, they were joshing you or just messing with you, and you didn't like that. And you probably told them what we say to folk a lot of times, don't play with me like that. He said, listen, this is a test. And watch what it does now to show you that what? Your faith is strong, that your faith is real and uncontaminated. Why? Because it's in God. Remember, Solomon says that we've quoted it over and over again, trust in the Lord. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I'm really convinced that a lot of people don't really understand the reality of what it means to trust in the Lord. It is easy to trust when everything is going your way, when ain't nothing happening out of the ordinary, when you're sitting on the top. You got food in the pantry, your check coming in all right, the car running good, the children ain't in trouble, the marriage is good, everything is just fine. But what happens when the trial comes? I have seen it. I'm sure Reverend White has seen it. I'm sure Brother Thomas has seen it. I'm sure Mrs. Woodson has seen it. I'm sure Ozilia has seen it. Many people walk away from the church of God, walk away from relationship with God, walk away from trusting God because something bad happened. It was the straw that broke the camel's back. There was a young lady in my former church that quit going to church, and I saw her at a funeral about 2 or 3 months ago. I went to do a funeral for one of the former disciples of the church, elderly lady, Sister Gertrude Hawks. Went to her funeral, and this young lady, her name was, well, I better not say her name, we might get on the podcast, but this young lady, her mother died. Sudden death, suddenly something came about, her mother died, and she quit on God. She got so mad at God because God took her mother. And I tried to explain it to her in every spiritual context that I could, one that your mother didn't belong to you, you belong to God through your mother. I tried to make it clear to her that it is the will of God, that he does what he does, but he does everything well. And I tried, and she wasn't buying it. This was in 1994. And this young lady has not gone back to the Lord. She'll come to a funeral. I saw her at the funeral, and I asked, I said, well, how have you been? She said, I'm fine. I said, well, what, you know, are you in church? No. She said, I just came from my friend. She said, you must have forgot what I told you. I mean, she remembered it. I mean, and that same snappiness and same anger. She said, you must have forgot what I told you. She said, I hate what God did to my family. And I ain't never going. She said, I don't. Who? Why would God? And I asked her, I said, are you still bitter? Because your mother, I said, your mother died, what, 90 what? I remember exactly the date, but she got mad. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. Her brother has since passed. He had cancer, died. Young fella, he was a military guy, captain in the Army, had developed cancer, and he died. And I think one of her siblings has passed. And it's all God's fault. She don't see it. And, you know, a lot of people, when they get to these difficult trials, they can't trust God. They get angry and walk away. And you and I can't say nothing to them. But it takes a conviction from the Holy Spirit. It takes at least a yielding. One thing about God that I say to people all the time, God is not in the forcing business. He's not going to make anybody love him. He's not going to make anybody accept the offer. It comes with trust. It takes a faith. And when trials come, a lot of us don't pass our tests. And just like in high school and other times, there are retest moments. If you don't pass this time, it ain't that you get to go on to the next. You know, it's like Monopoly. You can't pass go. You're going to take that test again. And for some of us, we compound the issue by shaking our fist at God. God says, ooh, you're going to need me. If only you were, if my people. There's a lot of preaching can go right in that little text right there. If my people. So Peter says, listen, please understand, this is for your benefit. Again, holiness does not exempt us from struggle. And some people try to paint it out like that, which is why I really believe, and this is a special note I put in here. This is one of the reasons I believe that a lot of us stay on the wrong side of holiness, because there are those who have presented holiness in such a way that if you really holy, nothing ever going to happen to you. You won't have any problems. You'll always be on the top. Because God's anointing, the anointing, I'm covered by the anointing. And we've heard that, you know, in the middle of the 90s, that just became a big promotion there. The anointing, oh, the anointing. Listen, the anointing has always been the anointing. It's just that we have made these foolish interpretations and suggestions to the world that if you ain't holy, that's why you catching all this hell. That's why you can't get married. That's why you can't do this, because you ain't holy. That's not true. That has never been true. Yes, Jesus' life is a perfected life, but he had struggles. And they suggested that to him. Well, if you really were the Son of God, if you really were the anointed one, you would know that you're sitting with sinners and wine drinkers. If you really had a spirit of prophecy, you would have known who hit you. See, that's what they were saying to Jesus. They were saying, if you're really so holy, you're really the incarnate, if you're really the Son of God, you would be exempt from all this stuff. This would not have happened to you. And even for a moment, Jesus had to ask himself, when he said, Father, is it possible? But then he said, nevertheless. You know, Jesus, in a way, probably could have said, hey, Dad, I'm your son. This stuff shouldn't happen to me. But what we must understand is trials, struggles, situations do not reflect the fact that we're not holy. Indeed, what Peter is saying is, because of what you are and because of what God has invested in you, there are things that are going to happen. But hold fast. He told Timothy, he said, you must understand, Timothy, because of all that you are and all that I know that you've learned, everything that I've taught you, everything that I've seen in you, you've got to endure hardness like a good soldier, because you are anointed. He said, don't let them not fool you. He tells Titus, don't let folk despise you because you're young and anointed. Don't let that bother you. Don't let what people say about you because of what happens in this life. Everybody has light and momentary afflictions. Some of us just don't let it be known. Some of us hide it very well. Some of us are very private about our struggles. Some of us have learned how to, as we say in the world, put a good face on it. I have known people that have been going through things for a long, lengthy, if you will, period of time. And when it's finally over, they'll tell you that story. And you look at them and go, when was all that going on? And they go, oh, Reverend, I wasn't going to worry nobody about it. What good worrying would do? Good biblical principle. Ain't no need to worry about it. My grandmother used to say that to us. As soon as she noticed a little discontent on our face, a little disconsolation, she said, look, hey, ain't no need to worry about it. Get on back out there with the rest of them. And she was right. What's worrying going to do? Jesus asked you that question. By worrying, what do you really accomplish? This is a hard lesson for many of us to swallow, and we're not babies anymore. But that's the reality. How many days have we wasted fretting, putting ourselves in isolation and don't want to answer the phone and don't want to go with be with our friends? Our friends are coming by begging us to go out and do things and enjoy life. And oh, I'm just going to sit here. You know, after a while, they're going to stop calling you. Then it's their fault. But y'all didn't even come check on me. We came to check on you every day. We called you. You wouldn't pick up the phone. We rang the doorbell. You wouldn't come to the door. We tried to pray with you. You said you wasn't in the mood. How many of us have met people like that? Get in a funk and you trying to help them. And then they get mad at you. And then when they come out, they be like, I thought you was my friend. What do you mean? Do you know how many times you hung up on me? Why? Because we're in a trial. But he said that's part of becoming. That's part of gaining your inheritance. Notice what he tells them previously. He said, listen, you live with a wonderful expectation. Why? Because of Christ. Never forget that he rose. Never forget that Jesus said, all power is mine. And the God that has all power will share that with you. And will use that power to get you out of these trials and tribulations. Again, Paul says, listen, now we see through a glass darkly. He said, we can't see everything. He said, but it's going to clear up one day. And when we get on the other side of the darkness, we're going to shout with great joy because we made it. You were never designed to die in the desert. No. So he said that, and then watch this. And then he says this. He said, listen, it is being tested. This is your holiness. This is your faith. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies. And your faith is worth more than that. Here's one of the things that we do in this society. We put a lot of value on what we can put our hands on. We put a lot of value on what's shiny. And you ever notice the shiny things are always worth more? The shinier they are, the more expensive they're going to be. And we put value in that. He says, well, here's an illustration for the world. It's going to come forth like gold. It's going to be the best and the most wonderful. Good morning, dear. It's going to be unlike anything you have ever experienced. Why? Because you made it. And all of us must understand that our sanctification, our holiness, our righteousness unto God, those things that we call under our anointing, those things are going to be tested. And it doesn't mean you're not holy. And don't let the world tell you that. The world will tell you things that way. You know, if you really were, don't listen to that, because that's foolishness. And you can say, no, First Peter said, I'm going to have to go through some stuff like this. I'm going to have to deal with some stuff like this because it's part of the perfecting process. Amen. Then he talks about us. He said, listen, what the church understands is you have to make an effort to live in purity. You have to make an effort to live in purity. You've got to fight the good fight. You've got to do those things that are pleasing to God. Let's go and look at what he tells the church at Thessalonica, if you will, please. Because every one of us, put it in reverse, every one of us needs to understand that whenever we are in a conflict, God is closer. Whenever we're in a conflict, God is closer. How do you know that, Pastor? He said, because I'll never leave you and I won't forsake you. Most of us know in this room, we're old enough to know, that when you get in trouble, what do folk do? They get away from you. They step back a little bit. There's some folk that hang around you when you're in trouble. There's some folk that say, look, man, I'm going to stick with you. But if it lasts too long, I mean, look like there ain't any harm or anything may come to them, they say, well, you know, you got to handle that. But he said, listen, don't ever think that God's going to leave you. And don't ever think that God's not going to stand by you. Everybody else might leave you. If my mother and father forsake me. You know, that's a bad day when mom and daddy bail out on you. You remember the young fellow that Jesus cured of his blindness? When the Sanhedrin court came around and the lawyers and the prosecutor went to his mom and daddy to hook them up in the matter. They said, no, he's old enough. Let him talk for himself. We ain't got nothing to do with that. Yeah, that's our son. They said, well, is this not your son? They said, yeah, that's our boy. Say, well, speak to us on the matter. They said, no, let him handle this business. That's his affair. I'm sure they probably said, we wasn't there. We was home eating our breakfast. He left here by himself. I don't know who helped him get down to the church. But the reality is they were bailing out. They said, no, that's Junior's problem. And it'll happen to you when conflict comes. Because one of the things that you will discover, all of us probably have discovered it, is that most people don't like trouble. Even the ones who started really don't like trouble. Most of us don't like any stress. You know, that's one of the new church sayings of 2013. Too blessed to be stressed and caught up in any mess. That's just not true. I think every one of us in this room know that sometimes you get caught up in mess that you didn't even know you was getting caught up in. Till you see your name on the indictment. You're like, what do you mean a subpoena? You've been called to testify. Testify about what? The reality is struggles come, but it doesn't mean that you're not the holiness of God. So he said, y'all in 1 Thessalonians, did that what I tell y'all to go? I did. I think I did. I just said Thessalonians, didn't I? Well, go to 1 Thessalonians. We're going to chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We've used it before. We're going to use this one again. He said, listen, you got to live your life in a way that pleases God. That's what you got to remember. Because even in the struggle, you got to still live to please God. He said, that's what you do. And that's an effort that you undertake. You know, we train up the child in the way we would have him to go. You know, it's Mother's Day. We'll mention that one once, twice today. But the reality is, every one of us have a responsibility, and our response to God is to live now in a way that makes God happy. And part of that means you get through your struggles. Part of that means that you don't flake out on God because you got some bad stuff happening. Stand up and give God the glory. Well, that other new little world saying, you may know my glory, but you don't know my story or something like that. In other words, they're saying, listen, you see me now, but you have no idea how I got here. Most of us have had some difficulty at some point in our lives. And here's the bad news. It ain't over. It's not over. And he said, listen, here's what you do. He said, listen, by doing this, you are going to be encouraged. You're going to remember. You're going to be holy. He said all of these things will be components of being the anointed of God, being in the holiness of God. He said, God will bring it to your remembrance. He said, and other people will come around and encourage you. Other people will help you to get through because why? You have a relationship with God. You're on the VIP list and you don't even know it. And that's what's important for us to recognize. And he said, listen, don't lose it because you got some difficulty. Don't let folk fool you into thinking that because you are saved, that you are separate from any difficulties. And don't let folk tell you that because you're holy, that you ain't gonna ever have to go through no difficulty. He said, don't let folk convince you that because you're sanctified, that you're not subject to the struggles of this society which you live in. Paul said, I was beaten. 39 stripes. He said, I've been in prison. I've been put in chains. I'm not blaming God for any of it. He said, in fact, I'm glorifying God because he chose me to do this. A whole lot of us couldn't make that, could we? A whole lot of us, first thing, I mean, as soon as you go to jail, folks, I told you they wasn't holy. As soon as you get in any difficulty, folks start questioning your relationship with God. Paul said, everything that happened to me, I can take it. He said, you know why? Because I've learned of the surpassing glory that is in Christ Jesus. I've come to recognize that God is using me in this situation. Now, let's be honest now. Some of us might wind up in the hooskow just because we made bad choices. But Paul said, listen, it does not say that God didn't love me. He said, I have one desire in my life, one thing I do, and that is that I want to know Christ in his suffering. See, we don't want to know Christ in suffering. But that's what he said. He said, even in his suffering and his resurrection, I want to know what it's like to go through it to his glory. See, we painted a picture in society now that when you really are the anointed of God, you don't have any problems. Everything is wonderful. You preach and sing and serve with no struggle or no implications of foolishness. And Paul said, that's not suffering. He said, we all got to learn how to get through some stuff. That God be glorified. And it doesn't take away from the fact that I am the servant of God. He said, oh yeah, I'm chief among sinners, but I'm the servant of God. And I'm struggling with that. You remember when he talked to the church, he said, listen, there's some times when I really, really, really want to do the wonderful, glorious thing, but I make the wrong decision. How many of us have made a wrong decision? Amen. And go make some more. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to make some more. Yeah, you might as well get ready for it. It ain't over yet. I've not been glorified. I'm not in heaven. I haven't received my rich reward. I'm still down here stuck with you. Everybody in this room is going to take them tests. But what you want to do is take the test with holiness. You want to go through, you don't want to go through without God. So he said, listen, please understand that's just how it works. Not just for me, Paul, and me, Peter, but it works like that for everybody. James said, listen, count it all joy. You fall into diverse, which is various and unusual and strange temptations and situations. You know, temptations come to everybody. See, you got some folk around the church been there, you know, they done made 3 Sundays in a row and happened to put in a good tithe last week and act like they ain't got no temptations. And if you do have a temptation, that means you ain't holy. That means your mind ain't. No, temptations come to everybody. That's what the word said. The word said, listen, there's not a temptation that comes to any of you that's not common to everybody. The only reason some of us don't get in trouble is because we're just too old or too tired. I don't know how, or lost our way, or we've forgotten. Amen. How many of you have been to that family reunion or that cookout or that thing, and one of your uncles or aunt look up at you and say, oh, back in the day. Child, let me tell you. And they can tell you. You be sitting there and going, Aunt Sadie, you did what? Child, I ain't always been saved. And that's where all the conversation is. Nick, they know she got a crowd. So what is she over there telling them old stories again? Everybody's had some struggle. Listen, don't act like we always set up in the house of God with a halo on. Some of us sit up in the house of God and we way across town. You know, your body's here with me, but your mind is on the other side. Yeah, that's just the reality. He said, listen, there's not a temptation that comes to any of us. That's not common to everybody. Common to the preacher, common to the trustee, common to the deacon, common to the pastor, common to the choir disciple, common to the usher. All of us got some crazy stuff that we got to deal with. And the thing that helps us to deal with the crazy stuff is the fact that we are covered by God. He said, I'm not going to let the enemy get you. He said, you're going to have to go through some stuff, Job, but I got you. Jeremiah, I know they hate you. They're going to talk bad about you. You keep crying, but I got you. Elijah, you on the run, but I got you. I know you're scared, David. You don't understand what's happening to you right now, but I got you. Why? Because you're mine. Touch not mine anointed. That doesn't just apply to the preacher. I've told you all that before. Because the next part said, and do my prophets no harm. I mean, you're God's anointed. Find yourself in the scripture and you'll find a new way of life. I look for me a place to say, ooh, that I can get in right there. I think I can fit that. And the reality of it is, all of us are going to have to learn how to deal with it. And then he said, listen, please understand that when you fall into these things, God's got you. And those temptations will come, those struggles will come, and every one of us have to reach out and trust God. And God says, okay, I got you. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, please. Everybody there? All right, watch what he said. Come to chapter 3 and go to verse 3. He said, listen, have you lost your senses? After starting your Christian lives in the spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? And see, that's what people do in the church. You know, we got saved and we did good for a while. The next thing you know, we create this holiness that's all about what we do. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't go to the club. I don't watch movies rated more than PG-13. I don't hang around folk who do this. I don't. That's your human effort. That's what you're doing. But when I listen to those kinds of conversations, you know, I've had some friends that, and I'm sure Minister White has had it happen, and many of you probably have. You know, man, you have folk who went to the church and got saved and gave their life to Christ. Good. And then as you see them, they start coming up with all of these barricades to protect their holiness. Oh, I don't do that anymore. Oh, I don't get down like that no more. I don't go there anymore. I don't hang with them no more. That's what you're doing. But you know what you will find missing? You will find missing in those conversations what they're allowing the Holy Spirit to do. Where is your trust in God? If you're trying to put up all of these defensive mechanisms so you don't have to test yourself or be tested. I am not saying that you got to go hang out in the liquor store to find out if you don't want to drink. I'm not saying you got to go to, you know, Kings of Comedy to find out if you can stand cussing. I'm just simply saying that what Paul says to the church at Galatia is true. He said, listen, you started out trusting God. It's right. He said, listen, have you bumped your head? Why are you trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Let the Holy Spirit do this thing. Because you do know what happens to a lot of people. And I've seen it happen many times. We create all these little chasms and hiding places. And when we break down, we break hard. I've seen people who say, well, I don't do this, I don't do that. And then the first failure is almost fatal. Because then they start beating themselves up about failure. I thought, I can't, I must not be real. And that's what the devil want to tell you. You know, the devil will say to you, you know, if you really were, you wouldn't do this. That's not true. It's not true. It is about being human. We're all human. It doesn't matter how long or how deep. We're all human. And humans have to deal with human stuff. But what the Bible says is there is for you a way of escape. There is a discipline that comes in holiness that you say, well, you know, in moderation or with reserve. Every one of us must trust God through the Holy Spirit, not our own human efforts. Because if you do it, it's you. And watch what he goes further. He said, listen. He said, you have suffered so much for the good news. Surely it wasn't in vain. He said, now, are you just going to throw all that away? In other words, he said, don't quit. There are a whole lot of folk quit. Remember, you got to go through the process. You got to get through the process. Why? Because you were born in sin. And you got to get through the process. You got to start, as old folk would say, you got to crawl before you can walk. And every one of us must understand that it is only after death, only after we die, does God call us perfect. Only after we die. Don't let the world confuse you that holiness and perfect are not right here together. I mean, they're certainly related. But you're right now living in your holiness, but you're not perfect. Oh, I thought you was in the choir. I thought you was a preacher. I thought you was a deacon. I am. What you doing up in here? What you doing in here? You came for madness. I saw an opportunity for ministry. That's always the bailout when you're in trouble. I came to minister to y'all drunks and keep this party legal. The reality is, he said, listen, don't let human effort mess you up. Watch this. He comes down. He said, listen, I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you just because you obey the laws of Moses? Of course not. He said, it's because you believe the message that you heard about Christ. So what is he saying? He's saying that God gives you the Holy Spirit because you believe the message, not because you've done everything so wonderful in the law. And a lot of people, that's how they paint holiness out. I've kept all the commandments. You remember that when he interviews this poor gentleman, rich young ruler, they call him. Jesus is minding his own business. And here he comes. Good master, what must I do? Then Jesus says, well, OK, if you really want to know. You know, keep the commandments, do right. And he said, oh, I've done all that up from my youth. I've always gone to Bible study. I've always made revival. And I've always, and Jesus said, okay, well, so here's your real test. Let's get to the human thing. He said, give up everything you got and come with me. Jesus, I just realized I'm supposed to be somewhere tomorrow. He ain't buying. Why? The human thing. Now, if Jesus had stuck with spiritual stuff, he probably could have kept saying amen. You know, Jesus said, you know, on the Sabbath, keep it holy. You know, make sure you drink wine in moderation. Don't shave your beard, blah, blah. Oh, amen, Lord. Yeah. But the human thing. When Jesus said, okay, give up all your stuff. Because he know he got a lot of it. He said, come go with me. I can't join this church. That's human effort. He said, no, well, you know, if you really want this now. He said, nah. And you know what's really funny? We ain't going to laugh. But if Jesus asked us to do that today, a whole lot of us would get out of church. We get out the body of Christ. No, I'm not. Man, I worked hard to get where I am. You know where we are? Really? Nowhere. One of the wonderful illustrations that Paul gives to Timothy. And see, a lot of people, you know, ain't going to get a lot of amens here, but I'm going to show you something. You can go and accumulate all you want to accumulate. You can become president, CEO, OCOO, all them new titles. You can have everything. You can be Bernie Madoff. You can be Warren Buffett. You can be Bill Gates. You can be Leona Helmsley, all wrapped up into one. And the day you die, you ain't going nowhere. You don't have nothing. Because you brought nothing in, you carry nothing out. Even your title will be given to somebody else. So we get bent out of shape about stuff, and ain't none of it ours. Ain't none of it going, as grandma say, mount to a hill of beans. So Jesus is really right by saying, all right, give up everything you have, and come. And you know what we should say? Okay. Okay, I'll do it. Because ain't none of it mine anyway. We shoot people, fight people, cuss people out about our stuff. He was in my yard. He hit my car. He took my. We got relationship issues with people, family members right now over stuff. When somebody died, she took mama hat and mama wanted me to have a hat. I'd never speak to her again. Seriously? Fighting over dead folks stuff. You know, the most consistent fight in families is over somebody else's stuff. I suppose I know it was more money than that. How many of y'all ever heard family members say that? When somebody, I know it was more money than that. My mama was good with her money. You have no idea what your mom was doing with her money. Because she always told you, don't worry about what I do with my money. when mama was alive. Didn't she keep that? Don't worry about what I do with my money. Don't count my money. So now you're going to sit there 6 weeks after the funeral. Oh, we should be getting some letters by now. Oh, yeah, you're going to get letters from debt collectors because your mama wasn't paying her bills. I mean, really, seriously. It is a consistency throughout all of the world that we get bent out of shape over other folks' stuff, thinking what we should have had or what somebody else might have done. None of it matters. It doesn't matter. So this rich boy proves us. Jesus says, if you really want to be with me, leave everything. And I'm telling you now, if Jesus walked in here right now and said, announcement, please, put it up on the media thing. All those who really want to be with me, resign from your job, leave your car, leave the keys, leave the house. Come on, let's go. We on a mission. That can't be the Lord. He done gave me all this stuff. Why he want me to leave it? No, that's how God operates. If you pay attention to the Bible, God always takes you from something before he can trust you with something. Everybody who ever served, here am I, Lord, send me. That sounds like I'm leaving everything. Elijah had to find out what it was like to live with nothing before God gave him something. David had to live as if he was in poverty before he could be the prince of, you know, everything in our lives belongs to God. Don't let what God gave you keep you from getting God. Amen. I didn't have but five heads nodding that time. I was looking. That's just the reality. So he said, listen, it's only when you die that you get to be perfect. So Paul says to the church of Galatia, he said, listen, can I borrow from the young folk? Don't get it twisted. What you're trying to do by human effort ain't going to get it done. It's not about what you don't do that makes you holy. He said, listen, perfection. There's a process to that. He said, then please don't misunderstand the fact that a whole lot of what you're going to have to deal with has to do with the fact that you are in Christ Jesus. And I would certainly rather be in a fight with the Lord on my side than to be fighting without him. Because he said, I'll protect you. He said, listen, I'm a battle axe in the time of war. What makes you think you ain't going to fight if the Lord tells you you're a battle axe? What makes you think you ain't going to have to fight if the Lord tells you to hold your peace and let me do this? You know, a whole lot of times we get in these situations, we forget the simple scripture. God didn't say that stuff as a advertising ploy. He said, that's a heads up. Bridge over troubled waters mean you're going to have troubled waters. You can't spend the rest of your life sitting by some pristine stream, eating ginger snaps and drinking lemonade with a little bit of ice in it. Sometimes waves come, billows dash and breakers. You got to understand that's part of being holy. Everybody in the room thinking now, well, Lord, I didn't know church was going to be like that. Yeah, that's what he says. Amen. All right, we're almost there. Go to Romans chapter 6, please. Everybody there? Almost? Come on over. Take your time. Don't take too much time. I got 5 minutes. They put me on a new schedule around here. They say you got to be on time or else. Romans chapter 6. Everybody there? Verse 19, he said, he gives them illustration. He said, I speak this way. And he's talking about the things about being slaves of sin and masters and stuff like that. But watch what he says. He said, I speak this way using the illustration of slaves and masters because it is easy to understand. Amen. Simplicity of the gospel. Before, watch this now, you let yourselves be slaves of impurity and lawlessness. He's right. Why? All have sinned. That's everybody, right? All have sinned. He said, listen, most of us in this room, because we're all adults, minus one or two, really seasoned adults. Most of us in this room know that the choices we made were the choices we made. The stuff we did, we did. Really, nobody didn't really make us. Most time when people invited us to something, it was something they knew we were familiar with anyway. You know, nobody's ever walked up to me and go, "You want a cigarette?" Because nobody, I don't smoke. Now, when I was, in smoke break, military, when you get smoke break, smoke them if you got them. Guys who had cigarettes went with the guys who smoked. Those of us who didn't smoke just took a, went and got a soda out the machine or candy bar. Nobody over there went, "Hey, man, you want to smoke with us?" No. You know, and that's the lane. Those of you who smoke, and I'm, again, I'm not condemning you, but people who know you smoke would say, "Let me smoke with you." You know, that means let me borrow a cigarette because I'm too cheap to buy my own. You know, one of my sergeants one time, a guy asked him about a cigarette. He said, "That's the sign that it's time for you to quit smoking." You know, maybe God's giving you some new inspiration now. But people who do things generally do things. So most of us know that the things that we were slaves to, whatever those things were, be it, alcohol or drugs or sexual impurity or immoralities, fornication, pornography, whatever those things were, if we play, we gamble. There are people who have gambling addictions. There are people who have television addiction, ice cream addiction, whatever those things were. He said, you allowed that to happen. That was the thing you chose. He said, but here's the transition moment for you now. He said, okay, now, everybody say now. You must choose to be slaves of righteousness. How? Why? So that you will become holy. He said, you got to make a choice now to become a slave to the righteousness of God and you'll become holy. How do little fat kids become fat kids? They eat too much cake. People who smoke become addicted. Listen, there is no way. I mean, I don't smoke. And again, I'm not beating up people who do. But you got to know that Philip Morris, Browning Williamson, R.J. Reynolds are putting something in those cigarettes to keep you buying cigarettes. No more than Tropicana and everybody else is putting something in orange juice to keep you buying orange juice. If it was nasty, we wouldn't be buying it. It's all marketing. Remember when Coke changed the formula? People wrote Coke a letter and said, "Hey, go back to the old formula. We don't want no new Coke." You know, the advertising was fine. The new Coke. Pepsi did it. Pepsi got a new one out now. I'm talking about Pepsi Next. Probably be less sugar. We're going to try it. You know we are. I can cut down on my sugar and still drink Pepsi. Get me some of this. And if it ain't right, Pepsi going to stop doing that. Say, "Hey, man, we lose." They look at focus groups and numbers and they say, "It ain't working." How many of us will never drink an RC Cola? Diet Right, Tab. No. Why? That don't fit me. They can make all the pretty commercials they want. I'm not drinking no Tab. Some of y'all, I like Tab myself. You don't find them everywhere. That pink can is a throw-off, though. That's just not a good sign. You can't be cool with a pink can, so you got to be careful. But the reality is, what he's saying is, you enjoy things, you do them. So he's saying, now, start enjoying Christ. Start being a slave to right. Some of us are slaves to products. Some of us are slaves to mindset. Some of us are slaves to people. Whatever. He said, listen, but be a slave to righteousness, and the next thing you're going to get from it is the benefit of holiness. It's right there in the text. He said, listen, if you become a slave of righteousness, you will become holy. It's just that simple. And slaves don't have choices. You just do what you're told. It's called obedience. And, last week we were talking about it a little bit Thursday, and we talked about it a little bit of here. One of the problems with most of us in our desire to become better Christians is we just hard-headed. "You don't tell me what to do. I don't need no preacher to." Yes, you do. The scriptures declare you need the preacher. Of all the people in your life, the word of God declares that the pastor, the preacher, the man of God is invaluable to your spiritual growth. How can they hear without the preacher? You do need the preacher. More than you need the governor, the president, the Mason leader, the sorority sister. You need the preacher. There's not a verse in the scripture that says, how can they hear without the president? How can it heal without the governor? How can it heal without the school teacher? I ain't got nothing against school teachers, governors, or presidents. But the word of God says, if you're going to grow in holiness and become what God desires you to become, you need to hear what he's saying. I ain't going to sit up under there. Okay, well then you lost. How many of you have ever been lost direction wise and would ask even a stranger? But you won't listen to the preacher. I can't find my way. So what we do, we ask anybody who can help us where we can get help. He said, look, don't let that happen. He said, you're going to need him. You're going to need him. We're going to pause right there and get ready to go into the next thing and pray that I've helped you. I'll help you a little bit. And mark my paper because y'all will fool me next time I come in here. See, this is Mother's Day. Again, happy Mother's Day, too.